Fresh Takes! Get your Fresh Takes here. We're reviewing Ironheart, all 6 episodes of the new Disney Plus show. Yes, we're doing spoilers. I'm saying it here in the intro. If you don't want more, don't listen to it. If you do, welcome. And yes, we're doing intros again. Cue the music. Hello and welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash, Ketchum, Pikachu, we don't evolve, we just level up. Here to review, do Fresh Takes on Ironheart, the new Disney Plus TV show, as well as going to go through some details afterwards about the show if you are the audio listener listening to the podcast. If you're on YouTube, hello. We're here to review Ironheart and kind of give you my thoughts on it. And first thoughts, it's good. It's better than I thought it was going to be. In fact, it was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. Because here's the expectations of the show, kind of going into it. We knew this show was going to be coming out ever since Black Panther 2, and I even think before that. We knew we were getting Riri Williams. We knew that we were getting Ironheart. And the expectations of the show going into it was that it kept getting delayed, right? It was supposed to be kind of a phase, I think maybe early phase 5. We ended up getting the last project in phase 5, getting pushed back, and now kind of out of nowhere, I know maybe like a year ago, they were like, oh, we'll do it in 2025, right before Fantastic Four. And there has been nothing. There has been very little promotion for it. It seems like Disney was just kind of like, yeah, we will release the project because it's done, but we don't really have a whole lot into it. So as a fan, as a podcaster, as someone who reviews movies, and if I wasn't reviewing movies, I'd be doing this anyway, just because this is something that I just really enjoy. And something that I discuss with my friends often is that I didn't have high hopes of Ironheart heading into it, even if there was promotion, if there was not. But since there wasn't much promotion from Disney, I thought this show was going to be awful. Like, I was expecting meh quality of show. I was expecting Secret Invasion level of quality, because we're getting no promotion, like none whatsoever. Like Echo at the very least was kind of like where I thought the show was going to be. And so I, as a podcaster, was just going to be like, you know what, I'll watch the show, I'll review it at the end, and I'll probably be talking about how awful it is and why Disney didn't really care to promote this. That is not what we got. And as a fan of Riri Williams, as a fan of Ironheart, and you can see the comic that I have up on the wall, when I started comics, Riri Williams was like the Iron Man for me. Riri Williams and Doctor Doom were, and you can see both them, both the Iron Mans at the time, because Tony Stark died in the comics, and we had Doctor Doom, and we had Riri Williams kind of not fighting each other, but sometimes like they're rivaling each other, whether or not who's going to be the next Iron Man. Of course, Marvel has no balls, and, you know, Iron Man comes back, because that's how comics work, and more or less why I kind of stopped reading comics, because after 5, 6, 7, 8 years or so, actually every couple of years, they replace, you know, storylines repeat. Anyway, getting off topic here, Ironheart the show is a lot better than I imagine. I thought worst case, it's secret level or secret invasion level of quality. As in, it's a missed show, over budgeted, just not really written well, just kind of put together to be put together because people were asking for it. And that's not what the show was. Best case, I thought the show was going to be high quality, maybe around the 3-4 range, the good. No, actually, I didn't give even like a 4 a chance. I thought at most it was going to be like Hawkeye level quality, where it's solid, but at the end of the day, it's a run-of-the-mill Disney Plus show. And at the end of the day, it kind of was a run-of-the-mill Disney Plus show, but it's a little bit better than that. So breaking it down, what is Ironheart? It's a 6-episode series They released 3 episodes 1 week, 3 episodes the next. A really weird release schedule. Basically, like, let's get it out there before Fantastic Four. We won't get much blowback, and that's what it came off came across. And after watching the 3 episodes, we talked about it with Brandon on Sunday. I kind of looked at him and I was like, "This show's pretty good. It's a pretty good show." And the reason why I say it's a pretty good show is it feels authentic, right? Riri Williams is about an MIT student who gets kicked out of college. She was in Black Panther 2, and she was kind of the catalyst for the movie. She, like, her invention was the reason why Wakanda and I am blanking on the villain, the water village, like, her invention to find vibranium, one either in the ocean or in Wakanda, was like the reason why these two nations were fighting. So she was caught up in all of it. And this story takes place afterwards. She gets kicked out of college. Again, spoiler warnings. And it's kind of like, what do you do now? And what I really loved about it is that Riri Williams just feels like Tony Stark in the street. Like, she feels like, what if, and like the show even plays this idea of like, what if Tony Stark wasn't a rich kid? What if he didn't have all the resources available? Would he still be Tony Stark? Riri Williams is essentially the brilliant Tony Stark, but she was a rich kid. She has to make her way. She has to find funds to do her projects. And the show kind of like illustrates that Riri isn't the hero that we typically follow. And I think that's interesting. I enjoy the fact that we're not following a straight up hero. We're following somebody who is a little bit different in the mold. She arguably is an anti-hero. This is in the comics. Riri Williams is kind of like that do-gooder inventionist, but didn't have much of a personality to her. She didn't have much of these like traits. And maybe she did later on in the comics, but like in the comics that I read, she was kind of bland. Her whole story was Tony died. She gets Tony's AI. And her and her AI kind of like build out her suit and she becomes a hero. And it's kind of just a very generic story. Whereas this story is Tony dies. She kind of like taking up this legacy of, so to speak. But the show dives into why she's taking up that legacy. Whereas the comic didn't really do a great job at it. Like, it was there, but it wasn't written well. And the show dives into the fact that like she lost 2 people that she loved. She lost her best friend. She lost a stepdad that she cared about a lot, and she didn't have the ability to stop it. She watched them bleed out. And the show explains in a really good way like why this motivation drives her to be who she is. She is someone who will, you know, sell weapons off to people. She will, you know, use her inventions for bad things or help people finish assignments and be very unethical, so to speak, and a little reckless with her behaviors. She'll be reckless with her inventions so that she can create her inventions. And like the whole motivating line is, I want to do it because I can. And it's just, it's a show that's just written really well. And when you dive deeper into all of it, you can tell that there's a lot of good pieces here in the show. You have Riri Williams, you have her breaking down her character, why she does what she does. And then you have the flip side of it, of Parker, the Hood, and why that matches. And you have this idea of like science versus magic. And I'm kind of like, I'm just talking, you know, as I'm thinking of, things. And apologies, I haven't written down this to begin with. But the show just does a lot of great things really, really well. It doesn't just give you a story and it expects you just to believe it and go with it because it's superheroes. It breaks it down into little pieces, right? She doesn't just have a suit. She has to build the suit. She has to rebuild the suit. It's thinking like, how does she get these pieces? How does she work within this world? What's the laws? What's the legality? All these different things. Getting recruiting into this gang of Parker the Hood, who is a very interesting villain. He's not just this, like, he isn't the straight up Iron Man villain you would think of. He is a very opposite, which I really love that for a villain. Like, hey, if you can't beat it via technology, which is your whole strength as a superhero. How do you overcome that? And I really like that aspect of it. So you have Parker the Hood. He gets his power from this magical source elsewhere. Riri joins him because Parker can give her the funds that she needs. They just have to, hit up and steal from rich people. And it gets very bloody very quickly, where Parker the Hood ends up thinking he has to take out Riri. And it's just this very interesting things of events. You see the anxiety of her. You see her breaking down. You see how it works in the play. And this is not even getting to the fact that the AI aspect of the story, which I think really is like the driving factor of the story. And it's also kind of like believe it because it's science type of thing, but I think there's more to it. And I want to touch up on that a little bit. So in the comics, Riri gets this AI that's Tony Stark, and it's basically Tony Stark's character coming back from the dead without actually coming back from the dead in a believable sense. And it is believable in the comics. Plus, it's comics. They had a whole, I think, War of the Realms, a Thor comic book crossovers. Another reason why I don't read comics as often as much, because you have to get really involved to do so. Like, this AI Tony Stark was essentially just Tony Stark in the story. That being said, in the show, they replace it with her best friend, Natalie. And I thought this was a really interesting change, and I thought this was a really smart change. The origins, hey, this happened because she was trying to get her own brain into an AI, and she dreams about her best friend, and then now her best friend's personality mannerisms turn into an AI. It's kind of like, because science, I have a theory that it was Mephisto all along, and I just said his name when I wasn't going to say his name quite yet. I apologize. I did say spoilers. I did say spoilers. Anyway, Natalie becomes a part of it, right? And this is where it gets interesting, because the whole idea of like, do you can like, especially for our age, where AI is becoming so prevalent so quickly, so fast. If you have the ability to take someone's personality and put them in an AI, and then that person can be visually created via AI, is that something you do? Is that something ethical? And the fact that it just happens accidentally, honestly, it's just an interesting finesse. Like, watching Riri and her friend Natalie, the AI version, them interacting really made this show special. Like, that was kind of the connection that like got me going, because it was just handled very, very well. I will say this show does have its flaws. The pros of the show is it's smartly directed. It's like the ingredients are there, the ideas are there. It is some really cool writing ideas, some really cool things that we get into. Magic versus science is a cool aspect. Getting to know some more wizards outside of Doctor Strange, but like, just hey, they're here in the real world. Let's go meet up with one of them that can help us is weird, but I like that aspect of it. It feels like we're in the MCU. Another pro, it feels fresh. The show feels fresh. The cons of the show, though, is that the writing oftentimes misses. What I mean by that is all the ingredients are there. The show has everything it needs. For whatever reason, it just doesn't cook long enough. Like, for example, I remember there's this like Riri admits like, hey, I did this because of my past. But like nothing else before it led up to this moment. And I'm like, this would have been such a huge moment. It would have hit so much better if it was just set up properly. And I just felt that way across the show, where it's like, the idea's there. I see the idea. The idea's amazing. It just doesn't execute. And that's ended up what this show was. It was just really, you could tell there were some really creative people, but the writing just didn't always hit. And a lot into like oftentimes in the middle of the series, I would get bored. But I will say this, the series got me. Like, as an ADHD person who gets bored often, the show knows how to get me in. The direction, the directing, the screen cuts, honestly, all of it's really good. This show should have been promoted. This show is worthy of being promoted. And honestly, where it ranks for me, and this is where I'm getting to the ranking side of it, is rating wise, I think I was leaning 3-, but I'm leaning 3. That's where I'm leaning at. I think it's a really good show. I think it's not as good as Moon Knight, maybe like a step below Moon Knight, but it's better. It's better than, I'm blanking on the show. It's better than Hawkeye. We'll say that. It's better than Captain Falcon and Winter Soldier. It's not better than Agatha. Not better than WandaVision. Not better than Loki. It's better than Miss Marvel. Some people really liked Miss Marvel. I thought this show did a better job of what Miss Marvel should have done, which is like tell the story of the town, tell the story of the people within the town, and then show your culture that way. I thought Riri Williams' Ironheart did a really good job just showing the culture. It felt really authentic. I love seeing Chicago as someone who lived in Illinois, who's someone who's been to Chicago many, many times. Like, I enjoyed seeing it. So overall, Ironheart, you should have been promoted more. You were a really good show. I give you a 3. I think you're just a solid good show. I think you hit, or I think you miss on a lot of things, but I think we really had the pieces to be good. This is going to lead me into two thoughts. My first thought is, I'm trying to debate which shot I want to do, the 6-episode series or Mephisto. Let's talk 6-episode series, and then we'll talk Mephisto. Okay, all right. 6 episodes. I hope this is the last time we're getting a 6-episode series. It's just weird. I don't know how else to explain it. I don't know how else to say it. It's such a weird amount because it's like not enough for an actual television show. But it's just too much to be a movie. And I honestly feel like Ironheart could have been a really good but smaller budgeted Disney Plus movie. That's what it, I feel like it should have been. Or a full-on film feature. Or make it a TV show where it gets 8 episodes at the very least 8. 6 just feel weird. It feels off. That being said, I know there's miniseries that have 6 episodes. I'm not saying that there can't be success with it, but it felt like what the show lacked was just time. Like, it didn't give us enough time to properly set up things and with enough emotional payoff for a lot of the backstory stuff of Riri Williams. And a lot of it was, it just needed more time to cook. I think the ingredients of a really good TV show was here. And the 6 episodes just feels like a miss. So I don't know what Disney's doing with it. I hope they're done. I hope they're finished. They're focusing more on movies. I like the TV shows. I want to see more of it. 10 episodes, please. Like 10 episodes just seems like the right amount of TV. Anything less just feels like you're shorting us out narratively. Anything more just feels like you're drawing more out. 10 episodes. Game of Thrones. Season 1 through 6, when we got 10 solid, high quality episodes, feels right. Last of Us Season 1, we got 9. Felt like we were one episode off. One episode. Last of Us Part 2, I think we got 7 or 8 episodes. I felt like we should have had at least 3 more. Like, 10 episodes, guys. That's it. I don't want the 23 of the cable. Don't want the 18. Don't want 13 of Netflix. Just 10. 10 solid, high quality episodes. Feel like it would be perfect. Okay. Let's talk Mephisto. I want to say, in a vacuum, the Mephisto scene in Ironheart was awesome. It was cool to see. I would say it's like a lesser version of what happened with Loki with Kang. But I thought Sasha, the the guy from Borat. I need to get better with these names. I'm looking it up now. Sacha Baron Cohen did a great job. Didn't even realize it was him. I knew he was like rumored to play it, and I saw him. I'm like, is that the guy who played Borat? Because this dude's awesome. And I looked it up. It's like, oh, it is. He did a great job. And honestly, I want more Mephisto. I wanted more Mephisto 5 years ago. And I think this is where my overall frustration is. And I know Nando cut his whole title. I didn't watch it, but his whole title was like, the finale of Ironheart is frustrating. And I have a feeling the reason is, and I didn't watch it, but the reason is that we should have had Mephisto in a lot of projects beforehand. And I 100% agree. At some point, I'm going to get Brandon on. We're going to talk about it because we were joking about Mephisto coming in Daredevil. We thought that would have been a cool, original idea because, like, it would have just fit more with, like, the Daredevil born again type of thing. And here we get it in Ironheart, and I wasn't expecting it whatsoever. I didn't, like, they didn't pull the trigger on Mephisto in WandaVision where it made sense, right? Where does Agatha get her magic? Tommy, Billy, like they were born from what? The shards of Mephisto. Okay. We had a couple other villains that were teased. We didn't see them. The Reaper being one of them, also tied to Mephisto, but we didn't see that. We didn't see Mephisto. Okay. So we didn't get Mephisto in WandaVision. That's fine. We didn't get Mephisto in Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, which wasn't expected, but like that's a place where he'd show up. Wasn't in Spider-Man. Which, like, again, if you think about it in the sense of like Doctor Strange is there, the fact that he had to make a choice between, every like the universe collapsing in on itself, or people not realizing he's Spider-Man, that's a very Mephisto thing to do. So there's that aspect of it, right? He wasn't in Spider-Man. Then you have Agatha all along. We said the name Mephisto. Finally, we got like. There was some acknowledgement that he exists in the universe, but guess what? Doesn't show up, even though it would have maybe made sense for him to show up. So, and then we have Daredevil. We were joking, me and Brandon, me and Meme were joking about Mephisto showing up because Daredevil, born again, Matt gets shot, like wanting that to be something bigger than just, oh, he pops up and he fights hurt. We didn't get that. And I knew that we had the Hood, and I knew that the Hood got his magic through something similar to Mephisto. I honestly just thought they weren't going to put him out. And then, boom, here he is in this show of all shows, a show about Ironheart, a scientist, right? Who previously, the other thing she was in, it was, Black Panther. The other country or the other nation with scientific implications, we didn't like. I didn't think Mephisto was going to be in Ironheart. I had no like. I would have been a lot more prepared to be talking about Ironheart if I knew Mephisto was going to be showing up because we've been joking about for Mephisto for the last year. So I am like weirdly kind of frustrated that this is the show that he pops up in because I'm like Mephisto should have been treated a lot bigger than this? Like, Mephisto's a huge deal. He's a huge villain in the comics. He pulls in together so many different heroes. Daredevil. He pulls in Agatha, Scarlet Witch, Tommy and Billy, Spider-Man. Literally, like, you can argue that he can bring in anybody. And we didn't get him until Ironheart, which I think Mephisto did. This series wonders. I think it elevated it at least a half a little bit. And I really love what happened with Riri Williams at the end, with her taking the deal. It leaves me with the show thinking on the idea of like, what is a hero? Can you be a good intention person if you take deals like this? Can you be Ironheart? This, like, it's an intriguing ending. But just like how TV shows or studios or writers, they make sure they use their villains like in smart strategic places and put them in the right spots. It feels like Disney didn't do that here because I'm like, you should have used Mephisto in all these other like shows, but you use him here in Ironheart, where it was probably needed to make her character better and makes the Hood a more interesting character, but man, you missed so many other cool places to put him. So, in a vacuum, I thought the whole Mephisto stuff is. I rated a 5. It's up there with Kang. Maybe like a tad less. Maybe it's a 4 out of 5. But like, it does wonders. I want more Mephisto. I want more of his character. I think it's dope. I'm just frustrated we didn't get him 5 years earlier. That's where I'm at with him. But yeah, Ironheart. I'm gonna wrap the video up here. I would say it's a 3. It's a solid. It's a good show. It has its flaws. It doesn't completely execute, but really. It has the ingredients for greatness, and I wish it could have gotten there. I don't know if Disney really helped it out with a 6-episode series, but it was a really good show. So, honestly, hats off to the directors, hats off to the writers, Dominique Thorne, and everybody else who's like a part of the show. It was really good. Thank you for giving me a surprise, a good superhero show surprise. This summer, because we don't get a lot of those. We get a lot of things that disappoint us, especially things that like we expect to be good. Ant-Man 3 being one of them. So getting a show that we didn't expect to be good to be solid, good, like 3, can't get any worse or better. I guess like it's just 3, solid, good. I'm okay with that, which is weird to say. So, all right, that is the YouTube video. All right. Audio audiences, I kind of want to take some time to talk over my plans with Don't Evolve Me and overall what I have going on in the future, what I'm working on overall right now this summer, and kind of just give you guys an idea because I feel like my release schedule has been a little wonky this last like month or so with me being so heavy in the TV shows, being so heavy into content where I was releasing like 1 to 2 videos per week and like podcast episodes per week for the longest time. And then this last month, I kind of a month and a half, I really dropped off and I've only, I think, released 3 episodes, 2 of which being from the same event. One of the things that I kind of just started to focus on more is I wanted to, starting at season 3, I wanted to just work on projects that excite me rather than working on something weekly. That being said, so much has been released in 2025 that I ended up working double time, more or less. So now we're getting the summer. There wasn't a whole lot that popped up this last month. Ironheart now, and then of course WaFest. This upcoming month, what we have in store is this week I'll be recording a Last of Us kind of an emergency episode, not as emergent, but Neil Druckmann is now out. For Last of Us season 3, we still haven't done our season 3 prediction video, so we want to do a season 3 kind of video episode as well as talk about what that means for season 3 of The Last of Us. That now that Neil Druckmann is no longer with the franchise, what it means for the game, and we're gonna go over that with Michael Schumer, hey, Papi, Michael Schumer. Then after that, Superman comes out within this week. That is huge. That is big. That is like the start of something. I'm here for it. I am in on it. I'm ready to go. Moving into the future, I believe I might be doing 2 episodes for Superman. Me doing kind of like a fresh takes, like off the dome. This is what I think. This is what I thought. And then talking with Donald and Meme, potentially those two, going kind of more in depth with all 3 of them over the movie and whether or not the movie succeeded. So those 2 episodes, Last of Us as well as Superman. After that, I believe Fantastic Four comes 2 weeks after that. I think that's when the next episode plays on, as well as Twisted Metal comes out at the end of July. I am now in the middle of watching Twisted Metal season 1. I might do a preview, might not. We'll see. But I will for surely be reviewing Twisted Metal season 2 because honestly, that's a fun show. I've got like 3, 4 episodes into it. Don't take it too seriously. It's kind of just fun, dumb, silly humor. And it's really refreshing that it doesn't take itself seriously, and it really shouldn't have. So we have that. And then after that, I think Peacemaker, Gen V in September. But the big thing that I'm going to be focusing on, and I will be using this platform to kind of promote it a little bit, is I have started a new project. We already announced it, called Roll for the End. It's going to be a D&D show. It's going to be on Spotify. It's going to be as a podcast as well as it's going to be a video. Brandon Klein meme. He's working very, very hard on setting up the production. We've been working really hard at trying to get a logo and almost being too complicated with the logo because like we want something iconic. We want something legendary, and we're almost going like too into it. I got the map done. Got two, three. I'm working on the third comic of my character, like the origin story in comic format. Like I have two of those issues done, ready to be drawn. I don't know if I'll get them drawn, but like they're ready to be read. As well as a third one that I still have to write. So I am very much like my intention is on the show because I believe in it. We have Thomas Nerdier Than You Are Chatfield. We already had an interview with him. He's going to be the DM again. He was the DM for our Dungeons and Dragons show with me. We have Donald coming back. He's really excited. We have new guy Tony, even though he's not new guy. We have Mike Guy Rogers, as well as Brandon. That's going to be our five party members. With Tom being the DMT, it's going to be on video. It's going to be YouTube. It's going to be through Spotify, all of that. And I'm really excited for it. So that's where a lot of my focus is as a content creator is going towards that. But I am really excited because this is a big month. So I might not be doing as many quantity videos and podcasts. But I will be getting the big ones for sure because I would be doing this. I would be talking movies, video games, television shows, anyway to like anyone who would listen. So no matter what I'm working on, like I'm always going to come back to this because straight up, I enjoy doing it. So want to give a little bit of update. But yes, please check that out. Roll for the End. We will be getting all the social media stuff set up quickly, but I'm excited because that project, hopefully by the end of summer, hopefully by August, honestly, because we're recording at the end of this month, we will be having something to show you guys. It's going to be dope. I'm super excited for it. Roll for the End. Can't wait to go into the Bleak, which is the world that we're going to be. Like, we made a whole new world for this. I made a map, went 3 days hard into making this map for this world. So I'm excited, but just because I'm excited about that project doesn't mean I'm not excited for Superman, Fantastic Four, Twisted Metal, Season 2, Peacemaker, Season 2, all of that. And Ironheart was a pleasant surprise. I was expecting to watch trash, and I watched a pretty good show. So, all right, that's it. That's all I got. This is your host, Jake Sherbing, signing off for a second time. Thank you very much. And thank you for being a listener on my show. I appreciate it. All right, I'm out.